If you would, please open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. I don't know if in any of your experience, especially in talking to any denominational people, if you've ever been chastised or accused of believing that you, whatever they want to call it, Church of Christers or whatever been called, you're the only one, you believe you're the only ones going to heaven. I've been told that or accused of that before. I've even heard at a youth rally one time when I was in high school, I heard a joke along those lines that I think he was a youth minister. It doesn't give very good name to youth ministers. He was standing right outside the entrance to the building, and as I was walking through, I heard him tell a joke, and it was about heaven. Somebody went to heaven, and they were talking to St. Peter, and taking a tour of heaven, and there were several different groups in heaven, and one of them was pretty rowdy and partying and carrying on, and asked, well, who they are, and said, well, it's this denomination that they didn't do much on earth, so they can do a lot in heaven. Went over there, and there's one that they were very quiet and quietly mingling around, and said, well, who are these people? I said, well, they're this other denomination, and they did a lot on earth, so they don't get to do much in heaven. And then they walked on for a while, and they kind of crept up over this little rise and were real quiet and looked down, and there's a bunch of people just sitting there very quietly. I said, well, who are they? I said, well, we got to be quiet. That's the Church of Christ. They think they're the only ones here. And I was listening to this, and this was a member of the Lord's church, and he was a youth minister, and I was sitting there and hearing this, and I had a trouble, you know, reconciling what he was saying there with what we were supposed to be doing with encouraging the youth, and I think about it, and I look back on that, and I see what some of my friends that were in denominations in discussing this with me, this topic, that there is a feeling among many that the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, is just one among many denominations. And I know we've had a lesson before on is the Church of Christ a denomination, but there are many that feel that, well, since you are merely just a denomination, that you can't say you're the only ones going to heaven. Because what's one denomination over another? They are right. What is one denomination over the other? But is it the case that the Church of Christ, those members of the Church of Christ, are the only ones going to heaven? Well, simply to answer that, we need to see what the New Testament says about those who are going to heaven. First off, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3, we're told, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Here, Paul is telling Timothy, look, God wants everyone to be saved. That is his desire. Peter says that God desires all people to come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. God desires for everyone to be saved. We know it's not the case that everyone will be saved. Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father." Not everyone will be saved, despite the fact that that is what God wants. So what does it take for us to obtain salvation? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Okay, well, here's a good starting spot. We know that salvation is in Christ. Okay, so what I need to know now that I know that salvation is in Christ, what do I need to do that I might get in Christ? And is there any other way besides Christ? Well, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we're told, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Okay, well, that answers one of my questions. It is only in Christ that I might obtain salvation. So that narrows it down. The only question that I need to know to obtain salvation is, how do I get into Christ? Well, Paul tells the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 3, starting verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Okay, well, this tells me God wants everyone to be saved. Salvation is only in Christ. To get into Christ, I must be baptized into Christ. Okay, so I am baptized into Christ. Well, I'm saved then. Well, what does that do? But besides give me salvation, what are the implications? What does that mean for me? Well, we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 47 there, after Peter and the other apostles preached that first gospel sermon on the Pentecost after Christ rose from the dead, verse 47 of Acts chapter 2 says, "Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved." Well, this tells me that there's two things that happen to me upon baptism. One, I'm saved. Well, I guess you can say three things. One, I'm saved. Two, I enter into Christ, and those are the same thing. And three, I enter into the Lord's church. I am placed there by God immediately upon salvation. Okay, so I know that if I'm going to be saved, I have to be baptized into Christ, and then upon salvation, upon baptism, I am added to the Lord's church. Well, which church is that? Matthew chapter 16, when Christ asked his apostles, his disciples then, "Who do men say that I am?" In general, man was confused. People were confused. They had several different guesses. Maybe he was a prophet. They really didn't know. When Christ asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ said, "That's right." And upon this rock, that is the fact that Christ was and is the Son of the living God, Christ said, "And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." His church. Ephesians chapter 1, starting verse 22, here it says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." There, Paul says, the body of Christ is his church in which he is head. Well, if I want to be a member of the Lord's church, I must be baptized for the remission of my sins. And upon baptism, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord adds me to his church, the Lord's church. Ephesians chapter 4, we find, starting in verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all and through all and in you all." Not only do we find that there is salvation only in Christ, and only once we are baptized and that we are added to his church, there is only one church, one body. The body is the church. Well, how can that be? How can that be when there are so many different churches, denominations? If there is one in which I might find salvation, which one is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is warning the church in Corinth about division, sectarianism. We might call it denominationalism, separation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 10, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each one says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Paulus,' or 'I am Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Here, Paul says, wait a minute, guys. You're not supposed to be divided. There is only Christ. Just because you might like this preacher over here or this religious leader, it ultimately means nothing. Were they crucified for you? Were you baptized into their name? It's only the Lord's church. The Lord's church in which we might find salvation. So how do I know if I am a member of the Lord's church? Well, simply by following the same instructions, the same commands that we find those members of the Lord's church in the first century doing. If I follow the same pattern that they followed, will I not be a member of the same church that they are a member of? Will I not also be saved as they were? Now we find several different names for the Lord's church descriptors in the New Testament. Sometimes it's the body of Christ, the church of God. But we find in Romans chapter 16, there, Paul records for us that they refer to themselves as the churches of Christ, and that we belong to Christ. We are part of His church. We belong to Him. Is it true that multiple denominations will enter into heaven? Well, it wasn't true in the first century. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There were no divisions that were acceptable to God. Only His one united church. There is only one body, only one church. There is only one Lord, and only one salvation through Him. And through Him, we enter into His one body, the one church. This is not because I want it to be this way or because I said it was this way. It's because this is what God ordained, because this is what's in the Bible. So we must make up our minds. Do I follow what my parents did? Do I follow merely my own desires, or do I follow the New Testament, the Word of God? If I do, I'll find that, yes, it is true that only members of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, are going to obtain salvation. Hopefully this helps us to understand a little bit better and strengthen our faith a little bit more in what it means to be members of the Lord's church. I want to offer the invitation at this time. If anyone is subject, we want to make this time available. If you have a need, if there's anything that we can do, especially prayers of the congregation, we would encourage you, please come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement.